Today, we are beginning a new chapter from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 30. The samvad or conversation between Lord Krishna and his intimate disciple Uddhava is still going on. And in the last chapter, which is chapter 29, the Lord was explaining to Uddhava on the yoga ladder, which culminated in the highest yoga, which is Bhakti Yoga. So in the previous chapter, chapter 29, the Lord has been explaining the tenets of Bhakti Yoga, the superiority of Bhakti Yoga over all other processes of the reunion of the spirit soul with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now in this chapter, which is chapter 30, called as the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, as the topic suggests, the Lord is going to have a conversation with Uddhava on what was the reason behind the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. And today we'll dwell on this particular topic from the angle of what is the relevance of the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty for all of us. What is the key learning that we have to take in our lives from this pastime of disappearance of Yadu dynasty, which probably will go for, I think, probably 45 to 50 verses almost. So we'll read from text 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam today.
Shri Rajau Vacha. Tato Mahabhagavata. Uddhave Nirgate Vanam. Dvaravatyam Kimakarot. Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana.
Shri Rajau Vacha. The king said, Tatha, then, Mahabhagavate, the great devotee, Uddhave, Uddhava, Nirgate, when he had gone, Vanam, to the forest, Dvaravatyam, in Dwaraka, Kim, what, Akarot, did, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhuta, of all living beings, Bhavana, the protector. Translation. King Parikshit said, after the great devotee Uddhava left for the forest, what did the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the protector of all living beings, do in the city of Dwarka? Purport. Parikshit Maharaj now inquires from Sukadev Goswami about the topic of chapter 1 of this canto, namely the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty and Lord Krishna's return to the spiritual sky. Because Lord Krishna was playing the part of an ordinary member of the Yadu dynasty, he appeared to react to the curse of the Brahmanas by giving up his earthly pastimes. I'll read this again. Because Lord Krishna was playing the part of an ordinary member of the Yadu dynasty, he appeared to react to the curse of the Brahmanas by giving up his earthly pastimes. He appeared to. Lord Krishna cannot actually be cursed by anyone. Narad Muni and the other sages who cursed the Yadu dynasty are eternal devotees of Lord Krishna and could hardly curse him. Therefore, in giving up his pastimes and leaving the earth with the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna demonstrated his internal potency and personal will, since no one can challenge the supreme potency of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in giving up his pastimes and leaving the earth with the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna demonstrated his internal potency and personal will, since no one can challenge the supreme potency of the personality of Godhead.
Oh, can you please take care of this? Keep bringing it.
Thank you.
Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantha Radha Kantha Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Hare Krishna. I'll read the translation once again. King Parikshit said, after the great devotee Uddhava left for the forest, what did the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the protector of all living beings, do in the city of Dwarka? The key line in the purport is, seems to be, to me at least, he appeared to react to the curse of the Brahmanas. The word appeared was very important. He appeared to react to the curse of the Brahmanas. In actual practice, again, as mentioned in the last statement, the Lord is here demonstrating His internal potency and personal will, and no one can challenge His supremacy. So that is the theme of the of this verse. That's the purport. So this particular chapter deals entirely, is a conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami after subsequent to the conversation between Lord Krishna and Uddhava, where he is asking about the reason for the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Now, as we have all heard in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, around the 14th and 15th chapters, this subject matter is dealt with at great depth, which talks about the disappearance of Lord Krishna and the Pandavas retiring timely. In those sections, it is mentioned that there are two things which are mentioned there. One is the material reason why the Yadu dynasty was annihilated, and the spiritual reason why the Yadu dynasty was annihilated. So if we see from that chapter that a material reason has been given. And what is the material reason that has been given? As all of you are aware, the Yadu dynasty was huge. Who were they actually? The Yadu dynasty were none other than the children of the 16,108 wives of Lord Krishna. Each of them, it is said, had 10 children, and each of the 10 children again had 10 children. So it is mentioned that the Yadu dynasty was so huge Prabhupada writes in the Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead book that the Yadu dynasty was so huge that to teach them, acharyas were appointed. And if I am not mistaken, if I read it correctly, 3.8 crore acharyas were there just to teach the Yadu dynasty. So that gives an idea of how big the Yadu dynasty was. So who will be foolish enough to try and even conquer this size of a dynasty? Nobody will even dare to. It's not only about the size, but who are these Yadu dynasties? They are the personal associates of Lord Krishna. Nevertheless, we find that the Yadu dynasty, the pastime is that some of the members of the Yadu dynasty, they went and teased a particular sage. They kept some object inside their stomach. They covered it up as to look as if they are somebody is pregnant. And they went and asked the sages that please let us know whether it's a boy or a girl. So the sages then cursed that it's not a boy or a girl, but whatever that object is, that will be the reason for the destruction of your dynasty. And then we found out that from that object, they tried their best to destroy that object. But from the remnants of the object came swords, came rods, iron rods, it is said. And with those weapons, they got intoxicated with Varuni and they killed themselves. So the whole pastime is the curse of a sage and the Yadu dynasty killing themselves. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purports that it is very clear that the Yadu dynasty cannot be killed from anyone from the outside. Because who can kill the intimate associates of the personality of Godhead? Who can kill those people who is so dear to Lord Krishna that he is protecting them all the time? So the only way that this can be wound up, their Yadu dynasties can be wound up from this material world, is that they kill themselves, because no outside force can kill them. Now, this is apparently the material reason why they left, that is, they fought amongst themselves and they killed themselves under the influence of intoxication. But the spiritual reason is that each of these Yadu dynasty members were not ordinary personalities. Many of them, most of them, were demigods. These demigods had come down to assist Lord Krishna in his earthly pastimes or in his Bhoomi Leela. And the Lord knew that he wanted to wind up his pastimes, so he requested the Yadu dynasty members that, yes, you all go before me and make arrangements for welcoming me back in my supreme abode. So it was the Lord's pastime. He desired that they go first and then he goes. So that is the spiritual reason why the Yadu dynasty was annihilated. It was not because of the way that it seemed to be from the material Leela. The other reason which Srila Prabhupada mentioned in a lecture in Los Angeles somewhere around 1973, when Prabhupada was specifically lecturing on this topic of Yadu dynasty, Prabhupada mentioned that there was a risk that if the Yadu dynasty would have continued, the Yadu dynasty would have become very proud of their lineage and they would have claimed pride of the entire Brahmana lineage that was subsequent to follow. So Lord Krishna did not want them to get proud and fall down. Therefore, one more reason for winding up the Yadu dynasty. So these are the spiritual reasons. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions, and even today in Rajabhumi, we have what is called as a sect of people who call themselves as Nityananda Vamsh. Nityananda Vamsh means the people who are coming in the lineage of Lord Nityananda. And they stake claim to everything of Lord Nityananda simply because they are born in that lineage. So Prabhupada gives an example. The Lord did not want the Yadu dynasty to fall prey to such rites just because they are born in a particular lineage. So that's another reason why he wound up the pastime. And Srila Prabhupada reiterated, actually no one otherwise could have killed the Yadu dynasty. It was Krishna's personal plan for the Yadu dynasty that they kill themselves. And then Srila Prabhupada in that lecture went on to explain how is this pastime relevant to all of us. What is the key learning out of this? So Srila Prabhupada mentioned in this lecture in Los Angeles, as I mentioned in 1973, that the most important lesson from this pastime is on Vaishnava relationships. Srila Prabhupada said, he quoted a verse where he said, we must remember Vipra Sapa Vimudhanam. Vipra Sapa Vimudhanam means that if a devotee or if anyone, any living entity is cursed ever by a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, then that Jiva's progress is completely finished. Srila Prabhupada said that if we fight amongst ourselves, even if we belong to the family of Krishna, we will be ruined in an unpalatable way. ISKCON can never be destroyed from outside. It can therefore only be destroyed from within. Pretty much like the Yadu dynasty. So this is the most important instruction which Prabhupada wanted to give his disciples at that time, and obviously for all of us. So Srila Prabhupada was reiterating in that lecture the need to cooperate with one another in spreading Krishna consciousness and in recognizing differences of opinion which will still be there within ISKCON, but to never forget the common objective why ISKCON was established. And Prabhupada mentioned that the common objective of ISKCON supersedes all petty disagreements that we may have. And Prabhupada mentioned the example that in India there are a lot of political parties. None of them see eye to eye with one another. In fact, you know, they are ready to kill one another at the slightest provocation. So that is the relationship between all the political parties. However, he said that when it comes to a national crisis, let's say some external nation is coming and attacking this nation, then the differences have to be kept aside and we have to move on with the job, because the ultimate goal is to protect the country. So Prabhupada gave this example in that Los Angeles lecture and said that this should be the mood even within ISKCON. At the end of the day, nothing is more important than the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada's disciples who came, you know, in his disciplic succession also very nicely are teaching us, are continuing to emphasize this and teach this example to us, so that for generations to come we will never forget the importance of Vaishnava relationships in continuance of ISKCON and in continuance of Srila Prabhupada's mission. I was going through His Holiness Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj's blog, and he wrote a very profound statement. I'll just read it as it is. Kadambakanand Maharaj says, "Every day in my spiritual life I am realizing the importance of Vaishnava relationships, and it is slowly dawning upon me. As we are coming to the end of our life, we realize that actually my main fault is that I did not do very well in relationships with Vaishnavas." This is Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj writing. "Actually my main fault is that I did not do very well in my relationships with Vaishnavas. When we are young, we think we are progressing very fast in Krishna consciousness. But as time moves along, we come face to face with our lack of spiritual advancement. We get confronted with that. And we start wondering, is my little service, whatever I have done in this lifetime, is it enough? Will it tip the scales in my favor for entrance into the spiritual world?" So His Holiness Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj said, concluded by saying that we must constantly introspect and check and control our activities and our behavior with Vaishnavas. So this shows the seriousness with which the disciples, the disciplic succession of Srila Prabhupada, is trying to give us this message. So in today's topic we will delve a little bit more on some of the principles of Vaishnava relationships. We will discuss different aspects. We will discuss some of the principles of Vaishnava relationships. We will discuss something about attitudes. We will talk about the things that help us establish Vaishnava relationships. We will talk about certain stages of development of Vaishnava relationships. And we will talk about what kind of nature, if we exhibit, will help us in developing Vaishnava relationships. And we will discuss this with lot of examples from Srila Prabhupada's life and from Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So I was hearing a lecture by one of my godbrothers, Gaurang Prabhu, and he was mentioning an interesting point. He said, he gave two analogies on Vaishnava relationships. He mentioned that Vaishnava relationships are like a yajna. In a yajna, what do? We make some offerings and we pour it into the fire so that it is taken by the Lord. So he said that Vaishnava relationships is like the yajna, where the main oblation which we offer to the fire is our personal opinion. Because that is what creates conflicts in Vaishnava relationships. everyone is too attached to his or her personal opinion on how something should be done. So the moment we are able to take this personal opinion and put it in the fire of yajna, then that is Sankirtan Yajna. That is where cooperation begins. So he gave this example. A second analogy which he gave is that Vaishnava relationships, we have to always remember that all relationships which we have with one another have to be centered around Krishna. And he gave the example that when Lord Krishna got down from the chariot after the battle of Kurukshetra and he asked Arjuna to get down, immediately the chariot blew up in flames. So as long as Lord Krishna was on the chariot, though all kinds of Brahmastra and so many dangerous weapons were attacking the chariot, nothing happened to the chariot. But the moment Lord got out of the chariot, it blew up in flames. So Vaishnava relationships have to be seen in this context, that all things which happen between devotees, whether they are bad or even if they are good, if the center is not Krishna, then those relationships will not stand the test of time and will fail eventually. He went on to mention that there are three attitudes in this world which people typically carry. The first is Prakriti. The attitude of Prakriti means, I am concerned with my good, you be concerned with your good, I am okay and you are okay. That is called as Prakriti attitude. The other one is Vikriti attitude. I am concerned only with my good, I don't care about you. That is called as Vikriti attitude. So even if you suffer, I am okay. As long as I don't suffer, I should be happy. That is Vikriti. And the third one, which is higher than this, is called as Sanskriti. Sanskriti means that I am very pleased and thankful for whatever I have, but I feel compassion that you don't have whatever I have, so I wish to give it to you and share it with the entire world. That is called as Sanskriti. And it is mentioned that this is where, it is mentioned that Krishna consciousness is all about encouraging this attitude of Sanskriti. So therefore, it is more than simply being detached. It's about developing positive relationships with others in the mood of Sanskriti by having this compassion for others and by sharing what we have received in Krishna consciousness. So an example has been given of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was none other than the emperor of the universe. He was not an ordinary personality, right? In terms of his material qualifications, he was that. But what was his spiritual qualification? He was a devotee even before his birth. Normally we say he is a devotee since birth, but Maharaj Parikshit was a devotee even before his birth because he saw Lord Krishna pratyaksha in the womb of his mother. So even from the moment that he came out of the womb, he was the most senior most devotee because he has already seen Krishna like that. But still, the same Maharaj Parikshit, when he was faced with the 7 days which he got, he prays in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. His prayers are given to the sages. He prays to the sages that, O elevated sages, I pray to you for a benediction, for three boons I want from you. At the time of death, please bless me that I have unlimited attraction for Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first benediction. The second is, please bless me that I have wonderful relationships with Vaishnavas. And the third one, please bless me that I have compassion for preaching bhakti to all the suffering souls. Please bless me that wherever I am, in whichever state I am, I always am conscious about these three things: unlimited attraction for Krishna, Vaishnava relationships, and compassion for the fallen living entities. So this is the mood of Sanskriti. Parikshit Maharaj was still begging from the sages, though he was senior most. In one sense, he was not trying to tell the sages, no, look, you know, I have seen Krishna, I can tell you how he looks like, because you people may not have seen him. He was not trying to impose any kind of authority, but was completely submissive. That is the mood of Sanskriti. And Srila Prabhupada tried to emphasize this mood of Sanskriti to a great extent, especially when he was winding up his pastimes in this material world. So Srila Prabhupada used to tell his godbrothers that, I have brought all these devotees, I have tried to, you know, spread Krishna consciousness in the West and so many people have become devotees, I could teach them lot of prachar. Prachar means obviously, you know, spreading the holy name. I could teach them the skills of prachar, but I did not have sufficient time to teach them enough of achar. Achar doesn't mean pickle. Achar means etiquette, Vaishnava behavior, like that. Okay. So prachar, achar and prachar. So they are very good at prachar, but they may be lacking in terms of achar. So please pardon them for that, because I didn't get much, you know, time was not sufficient. Now we have to understand that Srila Prabhupada was a man in a hurry. At such an elderly age, taking a ship to Jaladutta to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master, going with 40 rupees in his pocket, virtually nothing, and then building 108 temples, globe trotting for so many, you know, how many times did Prabhupada travel all over the world? 14 times? Yeah. So this was not any mean achievement. But we have to understand that Srila Prabhupada had limited time with himself, and he accomplished quite a bit in this small time. And it is, the analogy is given that his situation was pretty much like Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu did not have much time to learn how to get out of the Chakravyuha. He knew how to enter the Chakravyuha. So with Yudhishthira Maharaja's blessings, he entered. And then he allowed whatever happens from there. Because there was no time. Otherwise, you know, the Kurukshetra battle couldn't have been fought without Abhimanyu's contribution. So Srila Prabhupada also realized this, that the time is less. So he took the risk of engaging everyone in Krishna consciousness as soon as possible. Because that is the power. He knew that if these people engage themselves in the process, if I can somehow set up the process of Krishna consciousness, eventually the process will lead to everyone's purification automatically. And Prabhupada realized that there was no practical and faster way for his disciples to break through the Chakravyuha of Maya. So Srila Prabhupada established all these temples, and there was a great emphasis on book distribution to the nook and corners of the world. In fact, it was during one such pastime that one of the book distributors was so bewildered with this book distribution that he came and interviewed Srila Prabhupada. And he said that, Srila Prabhupada, so many books, your disciples will become bookworm. And then Srila Prabhupada said, if they don't read my books, then they will become stoolworm. So that was a famous, you know, statement of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, the focus of Srila Prabhupada was on expanding ISKCON far and wide. So towards the end of his pastimes, when he was winding up his pastimes on this planet, his main concern was that how will we ensure that cordial relationships are maintained in ISKCON, because that is now crucial to the continuance of the movement. And that responsibility he gave it to the next generation of Vaishnavas, who are our spiritual masters. So that explains the mood of our spiritual masters, and that explains the intensity of the statement which I read from Kadambakkanan Swami Maharaj's blog a few minutes back. So it is said that there are three things that help one in establishing Vaishnava relationships. The first one is to know the philosophy of Vaishnava relationships. First one is to know the philosophy that I am spirit soul, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am not the enjoyer, my constitutional position is Dasanudas, and so on and so forth. Also, to understand the three types of devotees, Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Kanishtha Adhikari, and to know how to deal with each of them. So that is the philosophy part, to know. The second is to act on that philosophy. And that philosophy then leads to active service. Now, the question is, we can't do service alone, no matter whatever philosophy we know. The moment we talk about service, then interaction with other devotees starts from that point. And so, the sensitivity aspect to other devotees also begins at that point when the service starts, when we begin to act on that knowledge. So, Srila Prabhupada said that there are two types of unqualified people who come to Krishna consciousness. Two types of unqualified people. One becomes a devotee and one doesn't become a devotee. Both are unqualified. Both come to Krishna consciousness. One remains, one doesn't remain. And Prabhupada gave the example, just like a speck of dust, if it's floating in the air, if it comes in contact with water, it falls down to the floor and then it is called as muck. Whereas, if the same speck of air is lifted by the air and placed on the body of Lord Krishna, then it attains a different destiny. So therefore Prabhupada said that this is the importance of association. So when we act, we always have to take full advantage of the association of Vaishnavas, and which is uplifting, rather than keep haggling and fighting with the Vaishnavas. And another example is given, that what are the chances that an insect can sit on Krishna's chest? What are the chances that an insect, which is just flying somewhere, can sit on Krishna's chest? And it is explained that if this insect somehow comes in contact with a flower and takes shelter of that flower, if that flower somehow is spotted by a gardener and then cut, and if that gardener somehow offers it to a pujari in a temple, and if that pujari by any chance is serving Lord Krishna, then that flower goes and that insect also gets an opportunity to sit on Lord Krishna's chest. So, Srila Prabhupada emphasized that the insect here is insignificant, but because of the power of association, an insignificant entity can attain great heights in Krishna consciousness. The third example is given of our identity, talking about our original spiritual identity. Prabhupada explained that our most important identity is that we are Das, Dasanudas. And there is a very humorous example given here, which the disciples of Srila Prabhupada will know better. There was this Srila Prabhupada's disciple whose Karmi name was Hans Carey. Hans Carey was, I think, probably a German name. And during the initiation, Srila Prabhupada said, I am giving you a name, I am not changing your name much, because this person was very slightly uncomfortable. He was living in US, but his name was Hans Carey, and sometimes, you know, people used to ridicule that name. So he wanted desperately a new name from Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada said, your new name is, I am retaining your first name Hans, I am just adding Duta to that, and your second name is Carey, and I am just adding Adhi in the beginning. So your name is Hans Duta Adhikari. So Hans Duta Adhikari, he did not initially understand what is the name. He said, Prabhupada, I don't understand. Who is Hans Duta? Can you please tell me? So Srila Prabhupada said, you go and read Srimad Bhagavatam. You read all my books and you will understand who is Hans Duta. Okay. So he started reading, but he couldn't find even after reading. So next time a fresh set of initiations was going on, and Srila Prabhupada was giving so many names and he was watching. Towards the end, he again went to Srila Prabhupada and asked, Prabhupada, please tell me who is Hamsa Duta. Prabhupada said, you are Hamsa Duta. And then Prabhupada, the whole idea was that then Srila Prabhupada was talking to his disciples and mentioning that actually it doesn't matter what our initial names are. What matters is our second name, which is Das. So the Das aspect is very important, and the Das aspect will sustain Vaishnava relationships. So we talked about three things that help establish Vaishnava relationships: to know and to act on that. And the third one is to preach. When we preach, many of us realize that when we share Krishna consciousness with others, we come to know of our limitations more than the fact that whether others get purified or not, right? Because when we say something from our mouth, then people are watching us, and then we have to live up to that. So if we say Trinadapi Sunichana Taro Riva Sahishnuna, it's a very dangerous statement to say in a lecture, because then somebody is going to ask you, are you following that? So, but still, we have to continue Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, so we have to preach, and that preaching puts a compulsion on us to behave according to what Srila Prabhupada has prescribed. So preaching is another, the third aspect that helps establish Vaishnava relationships. It is mentioned that charity of Abhayadan, Abhayadan means that charity by which one becomes fearless, Abhay. So the charity of Abhayadan is the highest, and only the philosophy of Krishna consciousness can give Abhayadan. So that is the highest charity, and there is no comparison of any mundane charity to Abhayadan. Examples are given on preaching and Vaishnava relationships. So it is mentioned that even the Chaitanya Charitamrita has got these three divisions distinctly. In the initial Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the emphasis is more on philosophy and Siddhanta. In the Madhya Leela, the emphasis is largely on preaching. But towards the end, the Antya Leela, it's all about nectarian relationships of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. So, Srila Prabhupada realized that devotees in Lord Chaitanya's movement will get ample opportunities for Siddhanta, because there is such a nice institution. Every day we come for Srimad Bhagavatam, we have Srila Prabhupada's books, We have lectures going on, we have Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, so many things. So there is ample opportunity for getting Siddhanta. There is ample opportunity for preaching also. And many of us, when even after reading Science of Self-Realization, the desire is so high to go out and tell it to someone, look, you are not the body, you are the soul. That may be the only thing we may know at that point in time. But we are so eager to go out and share. So that desire to preach also comes very naturally for Lord Chaitanya's followers. By default it comes. And therefore we also, and also we want to give it to our family and friends. We are looking for our best friends in college. And then try to give them Krishna consciousness. Look, my life has changed. Your life can also change. Why are you suffering? I want to give you. So that compassion is automatically there. So for philosophy and preaching, there is no problem. Where there is lack of understanding, many times we struggle in Krishna consciousness is how to bring Vaishnava etiquettes or Vaishnava relationships in our own life, though we are preaching. So once there is a humorous pastime, some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were in Vrindavan. And then when Prabhupada arrived, they told Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, we are trying to preach to these Rajavasis, but they are just not listening to us. So Srila Prabhupada told them, who asked you to preach to these Rajavasis? They are already pure devotees. Why do you want to preach to them? Rather than that, Srila Prabhupada laid the emphasis that how about developing relationships with these Rajavasis? How about developing relationships amongst yourself and the Rajavasis? That is more important than preaching to the Rajavasis. So again, that was another focus of the relationship between Vaishnava relationships, relationship between Vaishnava relationships and preaching. Also, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, the sections, Lord Chaitanya clearly demonstrated that Siddhanta and Prachar may be there, but ultimately the sweetness in Krishna consciousness will only fully manifest with Vaishnava relationships. So Srila Prabhupada was once asked, Srila Prabhupada, can you please tell us what is Vedic culture? So Srila Prabhupada answered, Vedic culture means open door, open window and open mind. Open door, open window and open mind. With an open mind, we have to be ready to change our personal opinions and ideas in exchange for Vaishnava relationships. So I sacrifice my personal opinion in exchange for relationship with a Vaishnava. I don't care whether my personal opinion was ultimately the end result or the end conclusion or not. It doesn't matter. So that is Vedic culture. So these are the three things that help establish Vaishnava relationships. To know the philosophy, to act on that philosophy, to preach, keeping all these aspects in mind. And then there are four stages of developing Vaishnava relationships. How does Vaishnava relationships develop gradually in the life cycle of a devotee? So the first step is to recognize that though I love this process of Krishna consciousness, though I enjoy lectures on Chaitanya Charitamrita, though I enjoy the nice dealings, intimate dealings of how Haridas Thakur dealt with Lord Chaitanya, or how Raghunath Das Goswami dealt with Jiva Goswami, all these pastimes are very nice to hear for me. But when it comes to my own life, then I am struggling with friendships with whoever are my contemporary Vaishnavas. Now, it is mentioned that the struggle is because of false ego. Okay. So, it is mentioned as Ahankar Prabhu. So, as long as we are Ahankar Das, then we will not be able to progress in Vaishnava relationships. But as long as the first step happens, which means we recognize that we have this false ego within us, then that is the beginning of development of Vaishnava relationships. And Srila Prabhupada used to mention that in the spiritual world, the activities are not any different from the material world. Here also we will make giviks, there also we will make giviks. Here also we will make flower garland, there also we are making flower garland. So the activities are not different. But the difference is only in the mood in which these activities are done. So, there was an example from Srila Prabhupada's pastime of when Srila Prabhupada was being given a massage in Mexico. So one of the devotees was, disciple of Srila Prabhupada was giving, an oil massage to Srila Prabhupada, and there were a lot of mosquitoes in Mexico. So these mosquitoes were biting this disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So, but then this disciple observed that none of the mosquitoes were biting Srila Prabhupada. So he tapped Srila Prabhupada and he asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, these mosquitoes are biting me, but none of these mosquitoes are biting you. Is it because you are a pure devotee? Srila Prabhupada said, maybe, but in Calcutta, the mosquitoes don't make any such difference. So another example is in Mayapur. In Mayapur again, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples asked Srila Prabhupada that Prabhupada, Mayapur is the manifestation of the spiritual world. So it is non-different from the spiritual world. So in spiritual world also will there be mosquitoes? So Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry about the mosquitoes in the spiritual world. Even if they are there, they will be all chanting Hare Krishna. So the point here is, in the material world and the spiritual world, the activities will be the same. But in the material world, those activities will not be executed with the same smoothness as they will be executed in the spiritual world because of Srila Ahankar Prabhu, the false ego. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who was the temple president of the Hawaii temple, once went to Srila Prabhupada and told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we want to start a boat preaching festival, a preaching in a boat. Let me just get 12 good men to start this boat preaching festival and everything will be alright. So Srila Prabhupada told him, it is not possible to get 12 good men in ISKCON at this stage. So Prabhupada was trying to emphasize that it is not possible to always begin any project, even if it is for Krishna, with all sweet relationships, everything very hunky-dory, everyone being, sir, Prabhu, I am your das. No, no, Prabhu, I am your das. No, Prabhu, let me do. No, no, Prabhu, let me do. That is just ideal. It may not happen in this material world. In this material world, what will happen definitely is a lot of haggling in every activity that happens, even if everybody is a Vaishnava. Okay. So Prabhupada said, it is not possible to begin sweet relationships unless we identify that we have a problem with us. As long as we think, no, 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 cooperation is not possible because nobody is cooperating. Then we are not, then are we cooperating? That is the question. So the first step in Vaishnava relationship is to recognize that the problem is within us and not outside. And Srila Prabhupada is to hammer this point. That is to recognize. Merely recognition is not important. The second aspect is repentance. So recognition of the problem and then repentance. Taking genuine responsibility for the mistakes which we have done, for the aparadhas which we have committed to other Vaishnavas, and genuinely the fire of that repentance must burn within our heart. So one is recognition, the second aspect is repentance. The third aspect is rectification. So there is an example which is given, again my godbrother Gaurang Prabhu, he was mentioning that he goes quite often to jail preaching. This is from a lecture called as Saints and Swindlers, where he is explaining about his jail preaching program. He said that as a part of his jail preaching, he goes to a jail in India which is called as Yerawada jail. Now this Yerawada jail, there is a special qualification that is required to go to this jail. You cannot be an ordinary criminal. One has to be a life convict. Only then one gets entrance into Yerawada jail. So he was preaching to all these life convicts, and as you know, life convicts doesn't mean one or two murders. Even if there is one murder, it has to be something very grave. So all these life convicts were sitting there and he was lecturing on Krishna consciousness. He was talking about some science of self-realization. And then he was chanting. So towards the end, one of the criminals raised his hand and said, I have a question. So he said, okay, what is your question? So he said, I will not ask this question from here. I want to come to the stage and ask this question to you. Now Gaurang Prabhu says that, you know, I was really thinking that now is the time for my body to be separated from my soul. So he asked the jailer, who is this person who is coming to the stage? And he said, 14 murders. So Gaurang Prabhu said, I will be the 15th, looks like. So as he climbed to the stage, so he came to Gaurang Prabhu, stood, and then he asked a question. He said, you people are chanting, when you were chanting, you said, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Now, I have heard that the Lord's name is Rama, why did you say Ramo? This is my question. How can you chant Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo? So, Gaurang Prabhu says that and this was 14 murders already. So, very carefully, he explained this Siddhanta to this criminal, and then somehow because of Gaurang Prabhu's association, obviously he's such an elevated devotee, so you know, the criminal was very receptive. But something interesting happened. After that, he mellowed down and they started having a very friendly conversation. And this criminal told Gauranga Prabhu that actually I am on a project. In this jail, in the jail and outside of the jail also, there are a lot of blind people in our society who cannot read. So my task is to translate a lot of books in Braille for these blind people. And incidentally, currently I am translating Bhagavad Gita. So immediately Gauranga Prabhu asked, who's Bhagavad Gita? He said, Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. So this particular person with 12 or 14 murders, he was given that project. And he said that after reading the Srila Prabhupada's books, I have been translating so many books, but after reading this book, I am finding a complete change in myself. And I am feeling genuine repentance and a desire to rectify myself. And he said that all along I was cursing my life. Why have I landed up here? But for the first time I am feeling that my presence in this jail is auspicious for me as well as for everyone else. And he asked him, how many rounds are you chanting? And he said, I am chanting 16 rounds daily. So the point is, even a hardcore criminal of this category in Yerawada jail, a life convict, even if he has a sense of repentance, then the rectification process can immediately begin from that stage. So we saw recognize, we saw to repent, and the third one is to rectify. And the fourth one, if we follow all this, leads to reunion. Recognize, repent, rectify, and reunion. Reunite. The example is given from Chaitanya Charitamrit of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes with Gadadhar Pandit. So as you might have read, Gadadhar Pandit was none other than Srimati Radharani's incarnation. So he wanted to travel with Lord Chaitanya to Vrindavan. So as he started following Lord Chaitanya tried to dissuade him, please don't come. But he was not listening. He said, no, I'll come with you. So Mahaprabhu gave him two aspects of philosophy to discourage him from coming. Mahaprabhu said, what is your duty? You have taken Kshetra Sanyas. Kshetra Sanyas na chadiya. Don't leave that Kshetra Sanyas. You have taken a vow that you will never leave this place. So why are you coming with me now? So don't leave your Kshetra Sanyas vow. And also, if you come with me, you have deities. What about your deity seva? You have Radha Gopinath. What will happen? Who will serve those Radha Gopinath deities? So by coming with me, you are breaking two principles. You are breaking your vows and you are breaking your regimen of deity service. So, and it is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the verse specifically says, Dharma Hani Prabhu Na Kare Sahan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could never tolerate anything which is Dharma Hani, which is against the principles of Dharma. So he was discouraging. And eventually he managed to send Gadadhar Pandit back. Okay. Now what happened was, eventually as Lord Chaitanya proceeded, he himself could not complete the journey to Vrindavan. He was then advised, don't go alone. So he changed his mind and he came back. Now when he came back, something interesting happened. Mahaprabhu told everyone that there were other reasons, obviously, why Mahaprabhu came back. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not subjected to any rules of this world. But in his own humility, in the mood of a devotee, he said, I have come back because I have done Vaishnava Aparad. I gave up the association of Gadadhar Pandit and broke the heart of a Vaishnava. Therefore, I was denied entry into Vrindavan. I was not given entry. Now, Lord Chaitanya being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no need for him to say this. But because he is establishing the highest standards, therefore he is saying so. So by this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that Krishna consciousness is simply not knowledge about self. It's not about simply about austerity. It is not simply about detachment. But it is all about developing genuine love and affection for Lord Krishna and for his devotees. So that's again the importance of Vaishnava relationships was underscored. So the four stages of developing Vaishnava relationship are to recognize, to repent, to rectify, that will lead to reunion. Now finally, we will see three natures that will decide our progress in Vaishnava relationships. So it is mentioned that there are three natures which we have. One is our constitutional nature, one is our conditional nature, and one is our circumstantial nature. So, the constitutional nature of all of us is that we are eternal servants of Krishna. And we have to have friendly, loving relationships with devotees. And if we don't have that, then we will not be able to become an instrument of Krishna or an instrument of compassion for the suffering jivas. And examples are given of this constitutional position. It is mentioned that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was 95 years old. He was in his early 90s when he scripted the mid 90s when he scripted the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now he writes, "I offer my obeisances to all Vaishnavas in Vrindavan." 95 year old person, already a pure devotee, is saying, "I offer my obeisances to all Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, though they may be big or they may be small. I fall at the feet of all these Vaishnavas, whether they are a new devotee or whether they are an old devotee, because I am simply their servant. May all of them, with my service of Chaitanya Charitamrita, may they all be pleased with me." This was the mood of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So this is an example of manifestation of our constitutional nature. So example is given from Srila Prabhupada's Leela, that one of the Srila Prabhupada's disciples once was mentioning Srila Prabhupada about these Mahajans. He said, Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned all the 12 Mahajans. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, so on and so forth. He mentioned all the 12 Mahajans and then told Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you are the 13th. And Srila Prabhupada immediately told him, "And you are the 14th. So what Srila Prabhupada wanted to tell him was that the onus, it is not just enough to admire the Mahajans, it is the responsibility for each of us to develop Vaishnava relationships in such a manner that we then become a Mahajan and then become a very effective instrument in preaching the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for that, Srila Prabhupada said one has to give up one's false ego and come to one's true ego, which is the constitutional nature. So that is about constitutional nature. The second aspect is the conditional nature. Example is of Manigriva and Nalakuvera. Manigriva and Nalakuvera, they had very high association. They had the association of Shambhu himself, Lord Shiva. They had a high parentage. They were the children of Kuvera, who was again a devotee of the Lord. So there was no dearth of spiritual as well as material wealth. They had residence in Kailash. Again, spiritual world. They had the opportunity to bathe in Mandakini Ganga. How many of us get the opportunity to bathe in Ganga? But despite all this, they ruined their lives because of Varuni, intoxication. So that is an example of how our conditioned nature can take us away from our constitutional position. An example is given, again from Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, that if we utilize this conditional nature, how this can be utilized in different ways and the conditional nature can be purified to get it back to the constitutional nature. So, Malati Mataji, who all of you know, senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Malati Mataji, how did this whole Jagannath Leela start in ISKCON? It started when Malati Mataji, actually she lifted from a shop a small Baladeva, I don't know whether to call it as deity, what do you call that as? From San Francisco? Yeah. She picked it up from an import-export store and then showed it to Srila Prabhupada. So when Srila Prabhupada saw this, immediately he said, "My God, where did you get this?" Okay. There must be two more personalities along with this. So she said, "No, I didn't see anything like that." Srila Prabhupada, no, you go back from where you went, you search, you will find two more like this. No? Two more to complete the set. Now the problem was that because she had taken it, lifted it from the shop, now if you go back, then you ask, then there will be a problem. So she had to again go and lift the Jagannath and Subhadra from there. But she followed the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, went and took the Jagannath and Baldev, and then they formed the complete set. So that is how Srila Prabhupada then in one sense, it shows the conditioned nature. But in another sense, Srila Prabhupada saw a higher purpose, a Leela being fulfilled through Malati Mataji, of start of worship of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra in ISKCON. Second example is given that when Lord Baldev was being carved by his guest Shyam Sundar Prabhu, that time the Srila Prabhupada went there and he found that on one of the hands of Baldev was an ashtray and there was a cigarette on top of that. So Srila Prabhupada did not immediately chastise you know, no, this is against the principles of dharma and wrong. Srila Prabhupada dealt it with lot of compassion. He just asked something like this. He asked Shyamasundara Prabhu something like, why do you want this small piece of cigarette butt to come between your relationship with Krishna? And that statement impacted him so much that he immediately gave up smoking. So that is how Srila Prabhupada used to deal with his disciples, like a father and as well as like a mother. And he used to always encourage or channelize their conditioned nature and direct them towards their constitutional nature. An example is again given of the hippies. Now there were a lot of hippies when Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra deities were eventually installed. Still there were a lot of hippies coming to the temple. And obviously the hippies like to wave and dance. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, called them to the temple and said, you can wave your candles in front of Lord Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. So people started waving these candles. And one of them asked Srila Prabhupada, how many times have we to wave? So Srila Prabhupada, wave as long as your hand doesn't get tired. Now what happened was, after this installation of Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, everything was going nice until the next day that Srila Prabhupada found that Lord Jagannath was missing. So he went and asked, where is Lord Jagannath? He said, no, devotees have taken him to the beach. How can you take Lord Jagannath to the beach? The Lord enjoys a lot of pastimes. You said we can offer him anything, you know. Therefore we want to show him the beach. So Srila Prabhupada said, that is all very fine. Now if you really have a desire to take Lord Jagannath outside of the temple, then please understand that Lord Jagannath likes to go, but he doesn't like to go alone. He likes to always go with Baldev and Subhadra. So why not take all three of them out? And then Srila Prabhupada channelized that nature and began the Rath Yatra festival. So every single interaction, Srila Prabhupada tried to use the conditioned nature and then direct it towards the eternal constitutional nature and services thereof. So Srila Prabhupada saw these desires and purified them. So the lesson he is giving us, that we should not try to find faults in others. Rather than that, we should have that nature of forgiving others and just channelizing their conditional nature towards the service of Lord Krishna. So that is about constitutional nature and conditional nature. The third one, the final one, is the circumstantial nature which we have. So circumstantial nature manifests because of our immediate surroundings and because of the heat of the moment. So normally a devotee will not behave like that. Usually he will not. Oh no, that devotee is always very silent. But yesterday, you know what, I was very shocked to see this devotee behaving like this. Usually he doesn't do like that. I have seen him since so many years. So that is an example of circumstantial nature. Okay. Thus, in circumstantial nature also we can make Vaishnava Prada. So we have to be careful of that nature as well. Now example is given from Srila Prabhupada's pastime. That Srila Prabhupada, once what happened was Srila Prabhupada, they had made kachoris for Srila Prabhupada to eat. Okay. So they brought kachoris, there were some three kachoris, and they brought it to Srila Prabhupada. One of Prabhupada's servant took it from the cook and brought it to Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, I will not have these kachoris, keep them in the fridge and tomorrow I will take it. Keep them in the kitchen, I will take it tomorrow. Okay. Now what happened was, next day, you know, Srila Prabhupada remembered that and he asked, okay, can you go and bring the kachoris now? So this disciple went, the servant went, and he went and searched everywhere in the kitchen, the kachoris were gone. Okay. So he went and asked the cook, the person who cooked, the Mataji who cooked the kachoris, he went and asked her, where are the kachoris? So he said, she also searched and she said that no, it's not there, maybe the cat has eaten. Okay. Maybe the cat has eaten. So this servant of Srila Prabhupada, he went, came back to Srila Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, sorry, the kachoris are not there. Prabhupada said, where is the kachori then? So maybe a cat has eaten that. So Srila Prabhupada said, whoever is saying that the cat has eaten, he or she has eaten. So this servant of Srila Prabhupada went back to that cook and he told her that Prabhupada said that whoever says that the cat has eaten, they have eaten. And then this Mataji felt very offended with Srila Prabhupada's comment. Okay. She said that her immediate thinking was, retort was, how can Srila Prabhupada say this? You know, I didn't eat the kachoris. And she was completely convinced. It was not my fault. So how can he blame me for that? Okay. And she was getting very upset. But because she was again under the aegis of a pure devotee, immediately, you know, she controlled her outburst. She said, hang on, this is not disturbing me. And she checked herself. She checked that response immediately before it got out of hand. And she said, look, What is my duty now? What is my duty now? My duty right now is what? Srila Prabhupada wants kachoris. It's not important whether I am right, I am wrong, whether I am at fault, I am not at fault. What is more important is my spiritual master needs a particular service and he needs those kachoris. So she set aside all these hurt feelings, continued and made very good kachoris for Srila Prabhupada. And when these kachoris were offered, Srila Prabhupada ate all 6 kachoris and praised. Very nice kachoris. Who cooked? And then this Mataji was told that Srila Prabhupada is very happy with the kachoris. And he was asking. So then she felt completely satisfied that she has served her spiritual master. Her spiritual master was very happy. And she felt a sense of bliss, which she said that I wouldn't have felt this bliss had I continued with my circumstantial nature. So because now I acted on my constitutional position, therefore I am receiving this bliss. Example is also given of Maharaj Yudhishthira and the Pandavas. Now, Maharaj Yudhishthira, what is his relationship between these Pandavas? Maharaj Yudhishthira was the elder brother. Okay. Now, let us all imagine ourselves in that position. We are all 5 brothers. And we all have one common wife. Let's put ourselves in that position. We are all 5 brothers and we have one common wife. The eldest brother is taking a decision to gamble. And in that gambling, we are all he is putting all of us as mortgage. Right? One by one. So, everyone is now losing his own free will. Right? And ultimately the wife is also being stripped in front of everyone. Now, if this happens to us, how many of us will be very tolerant with our elder brother? Right? How many of us will agree to leave our home just because of the mistake of our elder brother? How many of us, even after going, leaving our home and living for 12 years incognito, will come back and agree to make our elder brother the king of the battle of Kurukshetra, work still under him? On top of that, in the battle of Kurukshetra also there were so many mistakes by Yudhishthira. On top of that, after the battle is won, how many of us will say, no, 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 you are coronated as the king? How many of us can do that? So, if we understand the Pandavas' relationship in this mood and manner, we will understand that they gave more importance to their relationship with Maharaj Yudhishthira than the fact that who was at fault. So, that is the mood. So, in conclusion, after hearing all this on Vaishnava relationships, we may ask, at what cost should we sacrifice our opinions? It is all fine. We have to offer our opinions in the, as a sacrifice, etc. Because sometimes we know that we are right. We know that this is the best way to serve Krishna. And I know that that other devotee, whatever he or she is telling, is not correct. So, at what cost should we sacrifice our opinions? So, it is something very... I heard in a question and answer session, a very nice example how to understand this. It was mentioned that there are 2 aspects which we have to understand. One is the aspect of mercy and another is the aspect of justice. Usually, in any situation, we either impart mercy or we impart justice. We play any of these 2 themes. We play the theme of mercy with whichever Vaishnava we have good relationships with, and whichever relationships we have bad relationships with, we immediately take out the justice weapon for them. So, example is given that Lord Krishna, he killed so many demons. He Putana, Agasura, Bakasura, Vatsasura, Kaliya, Dhenukasura. One by one they started coming and trying to harm his devotees in Vrindavan. But even before they could touch any of these devotees, immediately Lord Krishna killed them. They had hardly done anything. And they were all demons sent by Kamsa. But that same Lord Krishna, he who killed at the slightest idea that they may harm my devotees, he still tolerated one person. That person was not sent by Kamsa. He rained Samvartaka clouds with a view to kill Lord Krishna's intimate devotees for 7 days and 7 nights. But at the end of the whole pastime, Lord Krishna did not kill that person. We are talking about Indra. So on one hand, Lord Krishna used whoever was trying to harm his devotees, he killed them even before they could attempt to do anything. On the other hand, even when of another entity was trying to do the same thing to a devotee, he pardoned him. Why? So, it is mentioned that this is where Lord Krishna is different from Lord Ram. Lord Ram is a justice-based God. Lord Ram is Dharma Parayana. Anything against Dharma, he cannot tolerate. So he is very justice oriented. So when Sita's chastity was questioned, Lord Ram said, yes, justice has to prevail. Even though it is my wife, she has to go through the Agni Pariksha or through the fire examination. So Lord Ram's mood is justice will come first and relationship can come later. But Lord Krishna, who is our God, is Prema Parayan. What happens doesn't matter. As long as Tilak is there, Dhoti is there, that is fine. So what if he made some mistake? Su api duracharovars from Bhagavad Gita. Even if he commits the most abominable action, as long as he is a devotee, no problem. I will always protect him. Some mild chastisement he may be there. That's what he gave to Indra. Some mild chastisement, that's it. That's all. Don't do it again. That's all. Right? So Lord Ram is Dharma Parayan. Lord Krishna is Prem Parayan. But higher than that, Lord is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Kripa Parayan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, even if he is not my devotee, even if he is Jagaya and Madaya, still take Krishna Prem free of cost. Like that. And we are under the aegis of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Kripa Parayan. So many times, so we have to understand that here is a God, our God himself has set this principle of partiality to devotees. So the key learning is that even if some devotees are not up to the standards, then we still, in any situation, we give more importance to Vaishnava relationship than to the project at hand. So in short, Krishna consciousness is all about relationships. And these relationships can be nurtured by a simple process which Prabhupada has given. Coming together, chanting together, dancing together, taking prasadam together and discussing philosophy together and then serving the Lord together in a mood of affection and love with other devotees. So that is the understanding which Srila Prabhupada emphasized from this pastime of the annihilation of Yadu dynasty. ISKCON cannot be killed from outside, it can only be destroyed from within. But ISKCON can flourish, it can go from strength to strength as long as we understand this importance of Vaishnava relationships over anything else in our Vaishnava journey. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments?
Thank you very much for the excellent lecture.
Thank you.
You have just come from South India. We want to know how the teaching, how you compare the teaching in South India and West India and Australia. How is the difference?
Actually, Bhakta Prabhu has given me indication that I must stop, but so I'll be very brief, Prabhu, and then maybe we can have that conversation, you know, personally. In this yatra specifically, I found that we went to Srirangam Kanyakumari along with His Holiness Radhanath Swami. The key thing which we found is that we are very fortunate that we are part of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. We went and saw the Sri Vaishnavas also, and in fact we were very fortunate to see a wonderful demonstration of love between the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. In fact, when His Holiness Radhanath Swami was given a very royal welcome on an elephant, they brought a royal elephant, they put a crown on his head, and then they welcomed him on the stage, and then they put lot of expensive fine clothing and adorned Maharaj. And not only that, for the next 1.5 hours, three of their leading acharyas, including the jeer of Sri Perambadur, they continuously glorified Maharaj like that, and his book, The Journey Home. In fact, one of the acharyas mentioned that after reading his journey home, I have now found my journey home. So we find that in principle, there is no difference between the Sri Sampradaya and Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. There is no difference. There is no difference in the teachings of Ramanujacharya and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In both the cases, devotion to Lord Krishna, affection for devotees, Vaishnava relationships, that is the common theme. The only difference obviously is in the mood. They worship in Aishwarya Bhav, whereas we worship in Madhurya Bhav. They are more attracted to the Vishnu feature of the Lord, the Ranganatha feature of the Lord. We are more attached to the 200 bending forms of the rod. But the principles are still the same. But why I felt specially fortunate is because though it is a holy place, though all kinds of activities are going on in that place, there is the process which Srila Prabhupada has established for systematic cultivation, that my personal opinion, and I could be wrong, that kind of a process is not there with any other sampradaya, that kind of systematic propagation program. So therefore, when I saw that, then I felt specially very fortunate, and that is one difference which I saw. I'll stop now because Bhakta Prabhu has instructed me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanand.